All right.
And Tammy, you were telling us about your paranormal experience. I think where we left off is you were running to the truck.
Yeah, I was going to go to the truck, and then Jeremy wants to tell me that the ghost can go to the truck. So, needless to say, I stayed there with him and right by his side, and it really. But I mean, like we've talked before, not everything is demonic, not everything's paranormal. Some things, a lot of things can be medical. And I mean, it could be other things too. It may be things around your house. What if you're carbon dioxide, you got carbon dioxide in your house?
Yeah.
True.
You have gas, it can be putting stuff out. So if you don't have a carbon dioxide detector in your home, actually, we sometimes bring our carbon dioxide a detector with us to check at locations because you can't smell it.
Good idea.
So it's always good to bring one. If you're a paranormal investigator, bring one, especially if they have gas in their house. It's a good thing to check for that. Ask them if they've been having headaches for a while, because that's another sign of carbon dioxide too, if they've been having some headaches and different things going on.
And then power lines.
Yeah. Yep. You got all those parallel, if you got a main line and different things going or close to your home.
We did an investigation in Carrollton, and we found out the home had been remodeled, but it still had the older fuse box, and the EMF was off the charts
Oh
when you
yeah, it
would get
was. It
close
was
to
way off the
that.
chart.
So,
And you're thinking it's all paranormal for the EMF?
Yeah.
well, till we found the fuse box, then we were disappointed. But I mean
Yeah.
that the with the high EMF, that could probably spark a
It
hallucination.
can.
Yeah, create a fear cage factor,
Yeah, yeah. It can
where
actually
they're
cause
going to
some
start
issues too.
hallucinating, seeing things. Now, a lot of people don't realize, Tammy, that you have a background in medical.
Yes, I do. I've been in the medical field over between 20 and 15 years, somewhere in there.
Yeah. So that probably helps you a lot on when you do a case with Jeremy.
Right, because you do it exactly like you would if you get a call. And then also, I was on an ambulance for a long time, worked in the ER. And then now, Jeremy and I both work for the fire department. So we're first responders on, through that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you do you as you're going to do it the same way you would any other, whenever you walk in, ask all those medical questions, because so many things can be caused from medical. Like I said, the carbon dioxide or mental illnesses, or even if they clean, depending on what they clean with.
Yeah.
If they mix chemicals, you can have a reaction then. You can start hallucinating. Don't ever mix bleach and ammonia. But other chemicals also can give you those hallucinations also.
Yeah,
Interesting.
I've heard that. There, household chemicals could be, very pertinent to what they're experiencing. Now, how many times have you come across where it's been mental issues going on, and they didn't even realize that they were dealing with a mental issue?
You would think it would be that many, but it's a lot of cases that we have been to that were actually mental and not paranormal. Like I told you before, the gentleman that we had, this was like a really strange case, and it's one of those that we talk about all the time, because we've never witnessed anything this before. But this man would actually put duct tape on his butt because he thought that something that paranormal was trying to get inside him. So he kept duct tape. And look, I don't know how he went to the bathroom and pulled that stuff off every time he had to go, but he did. And this was a very well-to-do businessman. This wasn't just somebody, off the street or whatever. He was very well known. He was very high up in his company. He was to the point where he was fixing to lose his job. his job sent him for drug tests because they thought he was on drugs and everything else. And it was actually, he had a deficiency. And it was all mental and medical. Yeah. And he was able to go to the doctor and find out what was going on. But we do not do, we don't do a deliverance really on anyone unless they get a clearance from a psychiatrist or their doctor. Exactly. Because we want to make sure that it's not just mental, that we're fixing to do a deliverance on somebody and it's actually mental, or medication. Maybe they're taking too much medication. And you talked about Ambien earlier. You wouldn't believe we've had cases where people were on Ambien because Ambien makes you hallucinate. I actually hallucinated on Ambien myself.
I have. I dreamed one night that, and I'm famous for Betty Boot gowns because I've got these little night shirts, and Michelle makes fun of me because of my Betty Boot gown. We go on an overnight investigation. I'm going to have on my little Betty Boot gown. One of I several. Well, I dreamed one night that I walked from my house to Flying J, which is a truck stop, and it's just right up the road from my house. I mean, you can see the sign from my house in Temple that says how much the gas price is up above it. So I dreamed I walked up there, and I remember feeling the wet grass on my feet. And I the next part, I remember going to the case and getting a Pepsi out. And then that was at the end of the dream. The next morning I wake up, there's wet grass on my feet. There's grass beside the bed. And I had a $10 bill on the nightstand. And there was change as if I had went and bought a Pepsi. So I know good and well that I walked out of my house in my little Betty Boot gown, and I walked up to that truck stop and bought a Pepsi and came back home with it and went to bed. There was a Pepsi on my nightstand.
So,
Ambien can make you do weird things.
Yeah. And it makes you know, a lot of people get hallucinations from it. And they may think that that's paranormal because they believe what they, you know, dreamed or saw. And, but it's just doing the investigation, asking the questions. You got to ask those questions. You need to know about the person that you're doing the investigation on before you worry about the location.
Right. A lot of people have so much fear in their life that the least little noise, you know, it's a demon coming to get them, or it's a evil ghost. And so fear is a big thing. And you know, I was wondering if somebody could have fear of something happening to them so much concerning paranormal activity that they actually bring that in their home.
You can. I mean, just with anything, if you fear something enough, you can make yourself believe it.
Right. I watched a movie not too long ago. I don't remember if it was on the Sci-Fi Channel or where it was. These children had a fear of Slender Man. And they just knew Slender Man was coming to get them. And they created this Slender Man, and he actually came in to their home. So if you visualize, I guess, something bad, sooner or later, you're going to draw it right in on you.
Right. And that's why whenever you go to a client also, you tell them, don't obsess over it. If they hear something, or they think it's a loved one, or they hear something and they think it's demonic, and they're wanting to investigate it, and they're constantly, you know, hounding it. They're going to buy this equipment so they can sit there and see if a K2 meter goes off, and you know, and they're asking all these questions and want to go buy a Ouija board. Well, they get obsessed with it. And when you get obsessed with something like that, you're going to bring in anything.
Right. Yeah. We've had clients, we use the spirit box. They'll say, oh, I've got to go get me one of those. Or what are you using? Oh, I've got to have one of those. Where did you get that at? You know, and
they want to play within their house.
Exactly. And then I'm like, well, you don't want to do that in your home. I mean, if you're going to go out somewhere, maybe if you're thinking about getting in the field of the paranormal, then by all means get one. But a lot of people just want this equipment to play around in their own home. And that mm-hmm. is so dangerous.
Oh, yeah. And then or they have something in their house and they think that, you know, oh, I need to cleanse my, they're wanting to cleanse it themselves. We're like, please yeah. don't do that. Please don't, because they want to all go buy sage and then come in and sage their house. We're like, please don't.
Just right. don't. I got a client where I work, and she found out that I was a paranormal investigator, and then she started telling me how she cleansed her house, and I'm like, okay, so you lit the sage stick, then what did you do? I just walked around the house with it. I'm like, well, you know, there's a little bit more to it. You know, you've got to know the intent, what you're using it for. And so I began to tell her my technique. And I actually told her, I'll come cleanse your house for you. Just mm-hmm. let me do it for you. And she's like, how much do you charge? And I said, come on, girl. They don't charge anything. I will come and handle this for you. So,
and there must be some people out there that charge for that kind of stuff.
There is.
Because we've had numerous people that ask, do you charge? And we're like, no, you don't charge.
One of the first.
I can't imagine charging somebody.
Yeah. There is people out there that charge people for this type of stuff. There's people out there doing exorcisms, charging people to do an exorcism. And upwards $500 in exorcism.
You got to be kidding.
No. I read a little article, somebody online.
Oh, no.
No. It would, you know, that's ridiculous. And that put a black eye on the rest of us.
Yeah, you do not charge to come and cleanse somebody's home. You don't charge to do an exorcism. You don't.
No.
You do that, you know, because that's a calling.
Right.
And that's why you do it.
Exactly. And that's why we do what we do.
That's what we do.
Started out fun, no bigger rush than, you know, going in that cemetery in Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
We could see shadow people all over the place. I mean, you could actually see them darting on the tree line. And I'm like, oh, this is so cool. This is so fantastic. And then, you know, it went over the next year to something a lot more serious for us mm-hmm. When we started taking on clients and not just going out and finding haunted locations to investigate. We got this deep yearning just to help people understand what's going on in their home, whether it's the refrigerator kicking on and off or it is some kind of paranormal presence in their home. It's just knowing that we help them.
Right, exactly. That is the best thing ever. Instead of trying to get, you know, money from someone for something that, you know, oh no, they're just, I just couldn't imagine charging some money.
No, I couldn't either. Now I have told clients, you know, we work on donations, you know, if they want to donate.
Right.
It's whatever they want to do. We don't set a price for the donation.
Exactly.
And we've had over the years, we've had people give a set of golf clubs because they didn't have money, dishes, you know, they just wanted to donate it.
Right.
Yeah. This one guy, we went to his house and, oh, he had a nice set of dishes on the table. I think they had just moved into the location and all that. And I'm like, oh, I love those. He said, please take them. What you've done here tonight, you can have them, the whole set. And I said, oh, no, really. But I still use those plates today. They are so pretty and gorgeous. But
that's the idea of helping somebody. I mean, that's the big payoff right there is whenever they call and tell you that you've changed their life.
Exactly. Also did give a client a word of warning. You know, and I remember telling him we didn't even know he was on drugs, but I remember telling him, if you don't stop with the drugs, you're going to get caught and you're going to go to jail.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, we had an EVP come across saying the same exact thing, the drugs, jail. And it was about a month later, we actually read his arrest in the paper that he had been arrested for drugs.
Oh.
So with our warning and then from the spirits in his house, even telling him the drugs, jail, you know. But that how we met him is we had on our paranormal shirts that said Fox Paranormal, and we were actually shopping for a cell phone. So we've met a lot of clients just by wearing our t-shirts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing ever. Tell us about the red man with the cape.
Okay. At this point, it was early on, me getting into the paranormal with Jeremy. And I was still very skeptical because I'm being in the medical field. To me, everything needs to have an explanation on why something happens. I didn't believe too much in the paranormal. So I had to be convinced. Jeremy and I, we went to a location, which was not far from us. But it took us, like, Jeremy, how long did it take us? About 3 or 4 hours? 3 or 4 hours. We couldn't find it. So I finally saw some coworkers, and they had told me where, how to get there and all this kind of stuff. And you're actually not even supposed to go to this location. And if you get caught, the law comes back there. So they told me that they were at work. So they were going to listen to the radio. If they heard somebody coming that way, they would call me. So we go, we are there maybe 15, 20 minutes. I'm in the, like the dining area of this building. This building's huge. It was a nun convent. I'm in the dining room. Jeremy and my daughter and them, they were in the kitchen part where I'm standing kind of in the doorway. And all of a sudden, you know how you get that feeling something staring at you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, all of a sudden, Jeremy and them, all of their equipment just started going off. The K2 meter's going off. Everything's going off. I mean, it is just like all of a sudden, everything happened at one time. I turn around. There is this very, very tall thing, because I couldn't see the face or anything, just thing standing there. It was just like a something in a red cape. I don't say a lot of curse words and different things. So when I say certain words, people know I'm either very mad or something. And it's all, they're video and everything, you know? So I'm screaming at them just to get out with a lot of other words and stuff like this. And I was gone. And Jeremy, finally, they said that Jeremy asked, where'd your mama go? Oh, she left. So they come out and I've already went all through the field and everything going to the vehicle. And here they come. And I was crying. I was hysterical. And Jeremy kept asking me, what's wrong? What's wrong? I wouldn't even tell him what I saw. I wouldn't talk about it. I didn't want to talk to him about it. I wanted him to just leave me alone. And he was freaking out. He was wondering what the crap's going on and all. And so finally I told him, well, I just found out a couple of years ago that he didn't really believe me because he had never heard of something red, like in a cape or something. So he just didn't believe me. I don't know what he thought, but he didn't tell me that. So anyway, he investigated it and come to find out it means something evil or anger and rage, he said. So anyway, I told him anything paranormal needs to leave out the house. I want nothing in this house that has to do with paranormal. We are done. It's not coming back in the house, nowhere. Because I was so scared. I was crying. And every time I think about it, I'd get really upset. Yeah. So about a week later, something just told me, you need to go back there. You need to figure this out. There's got to be an explanation to it. So we went back. Well, same location. We have, I'm holding a K2 meter in my hand. And all of a sudden, the K2 meter just starts maxing out. It's not going back and forth or anything. It is totally maxed out. Next thing I know, it was something grabbed me and threw me on the ground. And I couldn't get up.
And I'm trying every way in the world to get up. I can't get up. It's holding me down. I've never had anything experienced like this. So Jeremy grabs the K2 meter. As soon as he grabs it, it goes off. It stops. And everything just stopped and I can get up. Needless to say, I'm hysterical again. Crying. I said, I'm done. So about a week or so later, I told him, I said, Jeremy, we're going back one more time. So we went back again. And this time we had the spirit box. And they, and all this is on a recording. And it, they asked it, why did you do that? Clear as day, it says, because I can. That place is where I became a believer in the paranormal. And since then is why I just kept moving. And then helping other people and knowing, having them call you and saying, look, you saved our marriage, or my life, I'm able to go to work now, where before I couldn't. They were on disability, couldn't even go to work. Now they're working. Just the idea of helping someone, that made everything. But it took me a while. You know, I didn't, like I said, I didn't believe in the paranormal. And I kept asking for something to show me, to, because Jeremy would always be talking, you know, stuff, and I would never see anything or witness anything. And I kept saying, gosh, why can't I see something, or why can't something, you know, happen? And let me tell you, it did. And I became a true believer in the paranormal.
Did you ever figure out what it was there and why it was at an old convent?
This location, they, it was an abandoned location and people were using it for devil worshiping. One night we went there, there was a fresh pentagram with fresh blood that hadn't even clotted yet. So when, I don't know if they heard us and they took off or what. But yeah, they, and there were a lot of drug use in there. You could see all the were signs where they were doing drugs and drinking and sacrificing and doing all kinds of stuff in that location. So they brought it there.
Wow. Interesting. So I bet a lot of people call you and just want you to come out just so they can see Jeremy because he's been on TV.
Yes, we get that a lot. But we have a system that we work with that. We do have a lot of people that call and say, oh, well, you know, we were wanting Jeremy to come and investigate this or that, or we got this going on. And I tell them, I said, okay, well, we can send our team out there, but Jeremy's not going to be there, but we'll send a team. And if they find something, then, you know, that seems it might be demonic, then, you know, Jeremy may come, but he won't be there on your first one. So if it's something truly that they need help with, they're going to say, okay. But if it's not, they don't want to be bothered.
Right.
But whenever we go to an investigation, what's bad, I'm sure that y'all have had this too. We will go to an investigation and they think it's a party. They will invite their entire family.
Yeah, yeah.
They will have the food ordered. They'll have food all over the place. Yes. They are coming up with a whole party. And I'm like, wait, we doing an investigation and trying to find out what's going on in your home or with you or something, and you just invited your entire family over for a reunion or something?
We couldn't tell them.
We couldn't do it.
Yeah, it's happened to us.
And then I guess the hardest thing to do is the client always wants to assist with the investigations. Do you recommend that?
It depends. It depends on what's going on in the home. Is it going on with everybody? Is it going on with just one person or something like that? Is it a, it depends. Like I said, it totally depends. Everything's different. Most of the time we do not. Yeah. Or at least we do our first investigation, or we'll do our initial. And then we can let them join in later on if we think we if we don't get anything, or if we think that it would help. especially if it's just attached to one person. If it is something that we feel like it's attached to that one person, then we'll get them involved, and that way we can remove it with them.
Yeah.
One of
but we don't recommend using the clients and the families and everybody else in there.
One of our best investigators, we actually come by getting from doing an investigation in her home.
Yeah.
Good friend, awesome friend. We find that after we do investigations, these people become our friends.
Oh, ours do too. Yeah.
Best buds. I mean, it's awesome. You know,
the majority
the connection of them, yeah. that we get with our clients after we go there. And they stay in touch. And, you know, I stay in touch. A year later, I've been known to message a client, hey, is everything still going okay? Thinking about mm-hmm. guys. Oh, yes, everything's wonderful. One of the best stories that I got was, yes, everything's doing good. We've gotten married since you were here, and we begin to make things right in our life. And it was just a good story. It made me feel good. So if people want to get in touch with you and Jeremy, or if any teams need to talk to you, maybe to get advice, how might they go about reaching you?
They can go to our Facebook page and message us, or on either one of our, I know my Facebook page, I also have my cell number on there that they can call. Cause a lot of times, even on the websites for Louisiana, I think it's under Cajun or Ghost. What is our thing on there?
Ghost Quest.
It was our Ghost old Quest. One. Yeah. We used to be called Ghost Quest, but somebody had said that they had that name first or whatever. We don't really know. But Jeremy already had a book out and everything before they started all that. So yeah. Anyway, it was taken off of Facebook, but it's still listed under our Louisiana name. Yeah. And my phone number is on there also. But most of the time they contact me, and then I will do the initial investigation with them and talk to them, walk them through. That's where we do the medical questions, their personal questions, and then we go into what's going on in the house.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, it was so good to have you on the show, and it's a little bit after 9. And
my really?
Yes, it's been a great hour. Of course, it's okay if we go over, but I want to thank you so much.
Oh, thank y'all for having me on. We definitely got to get together soon.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Maybe I can get Michael to bring me back to Louisiana again.
I'm ready.
We'll go do something, hang out together.
Either that or we need to come up there, one or the other.
Yeah. Absolutely. I just said
we need to get away. We have got to get away.
Hop in the truck and come on.
Oh, let me tell you this. I found a place in Mount Cheeha, Alabama.
Uh-huh.
It's beautiful. There is a cabin that sits right on a cliff.
Oh.
If that thing's ever available, there's like cabin 1 and 2. And if it's ever available, I'm going to rent both cabins and say, hey, you've got to come up these dates because they're finally available.
They stay
booked. You would love it up there.
Yeah, I think.
And I'm wanting to go to Montana. It is on my list.
Montana.
I want to go to Montana. I don't know why. I'm getting one of them off my bucket list this year because we're going to Maine. So awesome. I'm excited with that. Yeah. And that's awesome. One thing, you know, we do what we do. And yeah, you do the shows and stuff like that. But the shows, the best thing about the shows is actually getting out and doing the events so that you can meet the people.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I love to do the events to meet everyone. I do. I think that's so much fun.
I love going to the events. I love to tell people the story about our box, which I can't talk too much openly about.
I know.
It's driving me insane. It's mine and I can't talk about it. But we're going to do a show about that, maybe even a live stream on Facebook talking about our little haunted box.
Oh, no, that box is something.
Oh, yes. And we actually have to find another place for it
and
to
you
go.
Know, I have
it's
a weird...
causing some problems where it's at.
Well, I have a weird case that we haven't even discussed or went into yet that has something similar to do with some voodoo or something going on. They actually found bones and everything, chicken bones and all this, in a closet, like an altar.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're having a lot of stuff going on.
Awesome.
I'll come to New Orleans.
I'll come up with you. Just call me. Give me 6 hours. Make it 6 and a half so I can stop for gas. I'll be right there.
I just found out about this one. And yes, they found some chicken bones and different things, like a little altar in a closet. And they're having some issues. And they pretty well changed their whole personality and everything else. You name it, it's going on.
Wow. Okay, just give me a call. I'll help you.
Only in New Orleans, huh?
Heck,
but I'm just Bloody Mary, too.
Just let me hold the K2 for you. That's all I got to do. All right.
You got it.
It was such a pleasure talking to you again. And we'll do this again real soon.
All right. Sounds great.
Thank you, Tammy.
Yes,
Tammy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What do you think?
Okay. You there?